Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with the effervescent Keith Gave and the moping Rich Hawkins. And Rich, I know why we're moping. The Grayling Vikings, the tournament run came to an end, a crashing halt, really, to a season that's something in you and I forecasted a little bit, because the Menominee team that they played really did things that Grayling doesn't do well.
Yeah, they really did. JC, you know, Grayling, to their credit, they got down early in the first quarter, 10-2, and then Grayling goes on a 10-2 run on its own, and so at the end of one, we're tied up at 12 apiece. So that's cool. We're like, we're hanging with them, making some outside shots, we're getting the ball inside, taking care of the basketball really well. Well, all of a sudden, the Menominee really turned up that pressure defense, and it wasn't necessarily from full court. They would do half court traps, sometimes triple team, things like that, and they quickly turned us over. They went on a 24-3 run in the second quarter and never looked back.
Yeah. And it appears that's exactly what they did to an e-course team.
Yes.
That should have been faster and better prepared, but you know, it's all about preparation, Keith.
Yeah, it sure is. JC, congrats to Grayling for giving us a really, really great basketball season, but you know, when you lose to a team from Menominee of the UP and they come down and beat a team from suburban Detroit, E-Course, pretty good basketball tradition there. Good on them. They must be a very, very good team.
12 state championships
in
a row.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And Mick McCabe has a pretty good story in the last couple of days of the Free Press about a Menominee team from 1980, I think, JC. A guy named Pat Miller. Does that name ring a bell? He played at Michigan State. Led Menominee to a state championship. Almost 25 years ago, but pretty good basketball tradition
there's
up there too.
There's a lot of good teams. I mean, Crystal Falls has some good basketball teams. Yeah. They played in the state championship round when we did that time. And yeah, I mean, I told you guys the story about the game that we played as a junior at River Rouge, and that turned into a
Lofton
riot.
Lofton Green was there. Yeah,
Lofton Green. Yep. I mean, he won 12 state championships in a row.
Mm-hmm.
In a real dirty neighborhood. You know that. Have you ever been to that gym?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it is in the shadow of the Ford Rouge plant.
Okay.
And it looks like something out of Deer Hunter.
Right. That's right.
I'm serious.
Yep. Yeah.
And we went in there and beat them, and it was not pretty.
Can you imagine all those pretty boys from Brother Rice going in that building?
That's the way people looked at us all the time. What comes out of a Chinaman's ass? Rice. Yeah, no, it's no big deal. and then that's why we were so hated, is because we would, you know, leave the building with a victory, and they're like, how the hell did those pretty preppy boys beat us?
All those rich kids from that private
damn
school.
Damn it, they recruit.
Lofton Green did some recruiting, too.
There's no doubt. But, I mean, you know, that was the way out of the neighborhood. If
that's
you didn't
want
to work at the Ford plant, then you shot the basketball.
But you were talking about some of those UP teams. Iron Mountain has a pretty good tradition. They should have won a state championship 2 years ago, literally, and I never blame referees for things, but the referees determined the outcome of that game. Bad calls at the very end, and they really literally took the game away from them.
Well, I don't want to get into that.
Yes, but I understand. But
the referees did not have anything to do with Michigan's game yesterday. I mean, Villa, we were texting during the game last night. And if you watched it at all, I mean, even to the most naive viewer, how does Michigan keep missing so many layups? I mean, they were 12 for 29 inside the painted area, which is you might want to like to shoot that from the three-point area.
Yeah.
As I told you guys in a text, Coach Wooden used to say, play fast, but don't rush. And that's what happened. Even I guess Dickinson alluded to it a little bit in his interview, Keith, that, you know, I don't know why it happened. I guess I played a little bit. They sped me up too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a really good point you made in the middle of the game last night. And it made a lot of sense to me because, my wife and I are watching, and it is really frustrating when they're missing 3, 4, 5 little – 2
bunnies.
Foot shots in a row.
Bunnies.
Yeah, sure. They make
Vitale, how many times would have they missed the bunny?
Yep.
they make half of those and they win the game.
They win the game going away.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, as we were talking just before we went on the air, Michigan should have won that basketball game. Villanova didn't play great, but they were annoying enough to get Michigan out of rhythm. They were never in rhythm. And even though Villanova didn't shoot the ball really great, which is one of their calling cards, they were never out of sync, Rich. And that, you know, they ran their offense. They got a couple of timely rebounds, offensive rebounds, a couple offensive rebounds that stick in my mind that just killed them when when they got the ball back to Gillespie and he hit that three and it went from 5-8
Yes.
That was a bit, and you texted, Keith, that the game was over there.
And when you play fast, JC, it looks smooth. It looks good. It's everything. But when you play hurried, it's choppy. It just doesn't look smooth. It's not choreographed as well when you're playing well and playing fast.
Yeah, and when you're in control, that's how you get to some of those loose balls and find the way to squirm through that. I mean, you saw Jay Wright after the game, and he's like, you know, that was a tough physical game. I mean, did Villanova out-toughed Michigan a little bit?
That's most of my point during the game. It looked like a Big Ten basketball game to me. Villanova was beating up Michigan. Michigan didn't have a response to that physicality. That's what surprised me.
Yeah, and that's the physicality gets ratcheted up the further you get along in the tournament. I've noticed it in high school basketball. All the tournament games that I watch, they're letting them play at high school. College, they're letting them play a little bit more too. And kind of as long as they're consistent, that's all you want.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think referees don't want to be the cause of a game. You're like, oh, well, that should have been called, or I'm going to call those, and then, but that's exactly what happened in the Gonzaga game. Chet Holmgren had no business being fouled out of that basketball game.
Yeah, two really bad calls.
The foul that he got to foul out of that game with 8 minutes left to go was really questionable. And I don't know if that was just born out of the fact that he's so tall that it looks a little different, and we'll see what happens tonight in the Purdue-St. Peter's game, because Purdue is going to have such a size advantage on St. Peter's that I'm wondering sometimes the refs will compensate. We talked about Shaquille O'Neal before we went on air, and, you know, you can't guard him. So, you know, anything that Shaquille gets a shoulder in on everything else, it's just automatically a foul. I don't think that's going to happen. I think St. Peter's is going to go down in flames tonight. But, you know, a couple of whistles here and there, and it can change the whole aspect of a game.
Yeah, no question about it, JC. And that's how some of these, you know, the St. Peter's of the world, these teams that really have no business being on the same court, but they get hot. You got to have some luck on your side, all that. That's how they get to where they're at.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Just putting a nail on the last nail on the Michigan cause. On top of everything else, they didn't have any luck.
No,
you know,
right.
They just, you know, a couple of those balls spun in. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dickinson had a three.
They were halfway down and came back up. Yes.
You know, my son, I've said this many times, and my son Nick texted me back. He goes, sometimes it's just not your night.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't Michigan's night for some Villanova reasons, some luck reasons, and, you know, some situational reasons. And so hopefully Purdue can advance, because that's going to be another – the Big Ten out before
nine
the Elite
teams, Nine teams the Big Ten in, and Purdue's the only one standing as a Sweet 16 team. They got to beat St. Peter's tonight to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Well, Wisconsin should be in. To their detriment, they lose their point guard 4 minutes into the game against Iowa State, and then that was just a rock fight. I mean, what was the final score, 52-48? I mean, ridiculous game. But, no disrespect to Iowa State. I've actually watched them play a lot.
Pretty good team.
And that Miami game, that's going to be another rock fight.
Iowa State, Miami. Yeah, two double-digit teams in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I like the under of 133 in that game. About games played last night.
Two number Duke, ones go down.
Duke is starting to look like the team those kids, the Michigan State game and now this game, they are starting to look like a team that could actually win it all.
They had a chance to call a cab in both those games, yep. Michigan State and and against Arkansas last night, and they didn't.
With 3 minutes left to go in both of those games, Duke turned it on.
Yep.
They, almost the exact same thing, guys. A 12-5 run to end the game, which is exactly what they did to Michigan State.
Exactly. And by the way, Michigan State played pretty well in that Duke game there. That was a pretty good game. But real quick, I want to mention about that number five for Duke, Banchero. It looks like Banchero on his jersey, but that I can't help but look. That kid would look pretty good in a Piston uniform.
Well,
also.
Right now I saw him. You know, he's probably going to be the third or fourth player off the board. So it depends where the ping pong balls fall, where they make.
Right.
I've seen a couple mock drafts that think that Chet Holmgren is going to be the first guy taken, and I'm like,
oh man.
I mean, okay. You know, I wouldn't take him.
I wouldn't either. I don't think I would take a chance.
But Duke looks pretty darn good. Houston looks really good.
They beat up a really good Arizona team.
72-16. Arizona missing one of their starters, and you know, and that's my big worry about tonight's game against UCLA. Haquez is questionable for it.
Yeah.
I don't see them beating North Carolina if Haquez doesn't play.
Yeah, he's such a difference on that team. And if he plays, what's he going to be, 70%, 80%?
Well, I don't know how bad his ankle is. You know, Rich, we were talking about that on the Sportscape show.
Yeah.
And it's been 6 days, which gives you 3 days to ice and then go ahead and take injections. It's exactly what I've done with my ankle. And he could be... You know, 85%, which then you would have him in the lineup. You know, anything, you know, if he's less than 70%, if he can't run, and if you've ever seen Haquez play, he's got a lot of moves off both feet. He can play with both hands, and it's going to limit his effectiveness. But this game is going to really be based on pace no matter what. If North Carolina can run like they want to and get a lot of rebounds, UCLA's got a lot of trouble. UCLA plays at a really slow pace. In a deliberate offense with every guy on the floor can score.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling my bones, and I need this game a lot, guys.
the big redhead, the big ginger with the beard for North Carolina, man, he was shooting the lights out in that other game before he got booted, you know. But,
he's
man.
He's an Oklahoma transfer.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. He's,
Maben or I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that,
No, he's been, you know, that's another team, that North Carolina team, after they beat Duke, has really looked like a much better team.
They said believing in themselves finally.
So we've got four games to look at tonight. You've got the last number one seed, Kansas, playing Providence. I don't know what to make of that Providence team. Man, they don't have a ton of talent, but they just seem they're kind of like Villanova. They're like a poor man's Villanova. So I kind of like them getting 7.5. Kind of like the under in that game, but man, I don't know. It's what we've seen in this tournament is don't believe your eyes.
Don't believe your lying eyes.
I know you got some notes there, Keith. So
no, I just to go over tonight's schedule of St. Peter's at Purdue at 7:09 p.m. TV numbers are weird.
They stagger those starts so you can follow them.
Yeah, but the Michigan and the Gonzaga game ended at the same time. Yeah. Michigan started a half an hour later.
They kind of caught up. It was a weird thing. Yeah.
Kansas versus Providence 7:29 p.m. Then UCLA at versus North Carolina 9:39 p.m. And then number 10 Iowa State at
Miami
number 11 Miami at 9:59 p.m. tonight. Some good games.
Yeah, like I said, I really like the under on of 133 in that Iowa State Miami game, and really the over and under in the UCLA game is going to tell the story. It's 141. If it goes under, UCLA wins that game. If it's over 141, then North Carolina is almost assuredly going to win that game. You know, you like to hope as a Bruin fan that all the experience on that floor will pay dividends. Against North Carolina team that really doesn't have any other than the kid that we're talking about. So and with a brand new head coach.
Yes.
So you never know, but talent wins out. That's what happened in the Duke game last night, is that the talent rose to the top. Texas Tech Yeah, it didn't have any McDonald All-Americans. Duke had four.
Yeah, that Roach kid, the guard, really played well for them last night for Duke.
Mm-hmm. And Coach K lives to coach another day.
You know,
good for him.
Maybe it'll happen. Maybe,
wouldn't that be great? I can't believe I'm saying these things because I always root against Duke, always, and I find myself really rooting for this guy and this team right now.
It makes for compelling television, although all our brackets are, are shredded beyond all belief. When we return here on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff, we'll discuss the never-ending saga of the NFL. And my God.
It never stops.
It never stops. Good for them, I guess. It gives us something to talk about.
All the stuff going on in Detroit sports.
They rise to the top.
And we're talking about the NFL, which is not even in season right now.
Oh, trust me.
That makes no sense.
Well, I mean, we could talk about the non-existent Detroit Lions maneuvers in football. But, yeah, we've got the Pistons, we've got the Wings, we've got Tiger Baseball.
Tiger Baseball,
yeah.
Beat the Yanks yesterday. Call me old school, but anytime they beat the Yankees, I'm happy.
Okay, well, old school, old man. Back after these on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. And, you know, FanDuel has one way to keep, even though your brackets are busted, they can protect you against with bracket parlay insurance. Go to FanDuel right now. All customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. I like player props and the money line on the Iowa State game today. Build your own parlay based on the teams playing today. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday.
And with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. New to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code WGRY.
Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code WGRY on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Michigan. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament SBK wager required. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And last week, guys, we mentioned that Tom Brady came in and kind of peed all over the bracket announcement. Well, and then Aaron Rodgers signs, and now Devontae Adams leaving for the Raiders and Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins.
Makes no sense.
Well, it did because the Chiefs weren't going to pay him. You know what? Did you see his press conference? He is ripped.
Yeah.
I thought he was just a skinny guy, but that guy looks like a mother.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, to get 5 draft picks back for a receiver, I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, and $60 million guaranteed.
And they got, you know, they got that offensive lineman from New Orleans and everything else. The Dolphins put a lot of players onto the field.
Yep.
If Tua is a quarterback, we're going to find out now.
Right, because they drafted that Waddle last year in the first round, the Alabama receiver. So, yeah, they've got a lot of weapons.
The Packers lose another wideout. Marquez Scantlez, or whatever the hell his name is now a Chief, along with Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know who the hell the Packers are going to throw the football to.
Exactly. Yeah, they're obviously.
Do we care?
No, that's going to say. I don't care.
And I just hope that Aaron Rodgers is upset, and so it makes him mad. That's a beautiful thing. And they're going to rely on rookie receivers. Obviously, they're going to be drafting. It's a deep draft for receivers, but you know, sometimes rookie receivers, one or two might pan out in the very beginning of the year. But man, it's hard.
They have lately.
Yes.
You know, I don't
Jamar
know.
Chase.
I don't know what their first pick is. If Olave shows up there, he's probably going to be fairly productive with a quarterback like Rodgers. And
sure.
I don't know who else is floating out there. Is AB headed to Green Bay?
Oh,
I hope so.
That would be fun.
That would be great. Go in there and turmoil in that locker room.
Not signed up. I don't know if he's going to sign with the Rams or anything else. So there's still a few pieces left, but like we mentioned in the last segment, guys, Lions not really doing too much.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't. But based on some of these crazy moves that I've seen so far, it doesn't disappoint me greatly. The quarterback carousel is making me dizzy.
I'm hearing Baker Mayfield to the Lions.
Really?
There was an article written about that.
Another diva that we don't need in Detroit. Come on, no.
No, I don't know why they signed Boyle again. Jesus.
That's in the latest, by the way, the line in Vegas now, Kyle Hamilton is now the favorite to go number two overall in this draft.
Well, I think if Hutchinson goes one, it'll be odd. I don't think the Lions can go wrong with Hutchinson or Kyle Hamilton.
Totally agree. And then there's a little bit of talk, too, that potential if the Jets or Giants want to move up for whatever reason, they have two first-round picks in the top 10.
Oh, both the Lions will make that deal
in a heartbeat. Just think if you could get Hamilton in that 340-pound tackle, Davis from Georgia in your first round.
Yep.
That would help your defense a little bit next year.
Yeah. So the landscape has changed so much. You know, Rich and I watch that Get Up show quite a bit in the morning, and you know they keep asking about, well, what happens with the Chiefs now? You know, Tyreek Hill is out. I mean, look at that guy got them into the Super Bowl. If he doesn't make that play against the Bills, then the Chiefs lose that game. He is a true game changer.
He is, and it's not just the plays that he makes. It's because he requires so much coverage off coverage. He's getting double teamed all the time.
You know who reminds me of Keith? It is Anthony Carter in college. Tyreek Hill. Carter was just open, and then whenever he caught the ball, it was 35 yards.
Right.
There's just nothing you could do about it. And he's so it'll be interesting to see if Mahomes can deal with the other guys. They had a stat, though, you know, that like Scantlin and Juju Smith-Schuster actually gained more yards after catch than Tyreek Hill, which was, I'm like, really?
Yeah, I
don't believe that.
I would have never believed that at all.
But,
I'm going to lose money on that one.
So we're going to find out a little bit more about Mahomes. I don't know why nobody's talking about the Raiders. The Raiders, on top of Davante Adams made a couple of nice moves. Chandler Jones across from Crosby.
Yes.
And they got a DB and a linebacker. You know, if what's his name from New England really can coach? I like the Raiders a bunch.
That AFC West is really, really loaded. I mean,
they get Russell Wilson, and the Broncos are still the worst team in the division.
Oh,
that's going to be must-see TV, baby. Those games. And then Matt Ryan moves out of – he's over at the Colts. So everybody is in the AFC. I think it's a good thing that Brady decided to come back into the league, so it leaves a couple of good teams in the NFC.
And we only have to wait 6 months to watch.
Well, I saw that you were counting on your
6 months. 6 months.
I was told there would be no math.
Right.
Hopefully the Lions will make a few moves and keep drafting well. They had a good draft last year. Let's see what they can keep doing.
Yeah. I mean, is Okuda finally going to come out of injury? If he could live up to a third round status, we'd be happy with that.
At this point, we'll take because we've gotten less than nothing from him so far. And I almost thought that since he's had an Achilles and an ACL in his first couple of years, would he pay off to move him to safety at this point or whatever? He's not going to have the explosiveness he had from day one. But who knows?
But he hasn't played any football, so even though he's been injured, we'll see. Maybe he will have the explosiveness. I mean, look at all these guys have ACLs and everything else, and teams are just signing them still to huge contracts.
Yep.
So who knows what they do with surgery and how much better rehab is, Rich? Mm-hmm. Than when you and I went under the knife when it was Barbary.
Got out the saws on.
They were practicing.
Yeah.
They needed
guinea pigs.
And just, we've had a little spring ball. There's been little reports out of Michigan and Michigan State. Anything that caught your eye there, Keith?
Michigan State football?
Yeah.
Honestly, I have nothing. Other than... Michigan's making some news with some of the things that Harbaugh's saying about, what he wants to do this year, what his goals are, and so on. I like everything I'm hearing out of him. Mel Tucker's been a little quiet. We haven't heard a whole lot from him, but that's kind of his MO as well. So, it's 5-6 months away, but I'm excited about football season already.
I just wanted to rope together a little bit of football stuff before before we put a nail in the coffin.
Because football is year-round sport.
It is. I guess, but what else can happen now in the NFL, Rich? I mean, what? I don't care where Baker Mayfield goes. I don't think it's big news. I think Matt Ryan to the Colts makes them a pretty interesting team.
No question.
Deshaun Watson makes the Browns pretty damn interesting.
But his off-the-field story is not going away. That's still...
Well, no, he's going to get six games just like Ben Roethlisberger did. That's the way the NFL is.
And here's the deal, slimier side of football here. They put his contract first year at $1 million only $1 million, because they knew he's going to be suspended for those first six games, and then the big money doesn't kick in until year two. So they purposely did that.
Well, it doesn't matter. He got it. You know, the signing bonus was like $52 million, so it doesn't matter what he makes.
That's right.
He made $52 million by doing this.
Yeah.
You know, which I would love to have a $52 million. You know, my autograph being worth that much, but.
We're not there yet.
No, but again, you know, the expected getting back to Michigan
when's
State.
The draft? The draft is
a month away.
Yeah. Okay. So
and towards the end of April. So yeah, we're exactly
a month
away.
We've got
away.
Nine more mock drafts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keith's favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, it does. Yeah.
I'm a little bit more interested in it this year. Not so much the mock drafts, but just talking about who's available and so on. Excuse me, because the Lions have three picks in the top 34, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. They're going to get three good players, or they should, make them a much better team.
Right.
Well, they should. Where the draft really makes sense is, you know, what you can do with the bottom half of your picks. That's why New England, until very recently, has been a fantastic football team.
Yep. Yeah.
There's another team that hasn't done much in free agency. So, not that the Lions are stealing a page from the Patriots anymore, but it's just hard to keep up.
Hard to keep up, and
kudos to Roger Goodell and all the powers that be that keep this that juggernaut rolling right along. When we return here on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff, we will discuss Tiger baseball and our big opening day news. So we'll get into that. But we got to keep talking to you folks about how important it is to have your phone app in your hand on your couch. In game. Now you can bet up front on FanDuel with the bracket parlay insurance, which is really cool stuff. If your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short, I like player props and the money line on that Iowa State Miami game. Build your own parlay based on the teams playing today. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday, and with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over.
New to FanDuel? Just sign up with promo code WGRY. Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code WGRY on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
21 and over and present in Michigan. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued. It has non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament SBK wager required. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Keith, the Yankee killer.
It's preseason, exhibition season. I know. But the Tigers. They were losing 3-0 yesterday in a long rain delay in the fifth inning.
Here, broadcast on 101.1 Up North Sports Radio.
I thought they'd call the game then. They didn't. They came back and played, and the Tigers scored 5 runs in the sixth inning. Eric Haas, a home run, and or a two-run double by Eric Haas, home run by Jaime Candelario, and a home run by Jack Lopez. I don't know him, a prospect, obviously. But, you know, 5 runs in the sixth, they beat the Yankees in exhibition. It's the second time they've come from way behind and beat the Yankees in exhibition baseball. I like what I see so far.
It was good for Candelario to get a hit because he had struck out every at-bat so far this spring training, so he got a home run on his first hit.
I'm not worried about him. That guy hits. He's going to be fine.
Well, and Fulmer had a flame out, which is what he has done every spring training since he's been with the Tigers. So, I mean, he's going to be an important piece. The bullpen is going to be hypercritical for this baseball team. Right. Because that's the way A.J. Hinch likes to manage. But since we were in here last week, guys, Michael Pineda got signed. So we got that other starter to fill out the starting rotation with Rodriguez, Pineda, and Mize, and Skubal.
Yep.
And whoever the fifth piece is going to be in there, which is there's a few candidates
Tyler
for sure.
Alexander, somebody like that.
Yeah. And Pineda's not – he can't pitch yet because of visa issues. So they're saying he might not be ready to start the season, but that's okay. He'll join,
They're expanding the rosters in the first month of the season from 26 to 28.
Right.
So,
right.
And you know what, guys? I just took a look at the schedule. Now, we are going to broadcast this particular radio program live in Gaylord at 10 a.m. on April 8th, which is opening day at Iron Pig Smokehouse.
Okay.
We're going to have Tiger tickets to give away. We're going to have Pittsbitter tickets to give away.
Awesome.
And we're going to have a couple of signed copies of the brand new book that Keith Gave wrote.
Yeah, sorry, Keith. You don't want that out there.
How I got through 12 pairs of underwear in the same day by Rich Calkins. No, you've got a book coming out about one of our favorite Red Wings.
I do. Not necessarily
surprising that it's about the Red Wings.
But he's on the cover. The book is called Vlad the Impaler. And it's just more stories about that team 25 years ago that won the Stanley Cup with the Russian Five and Vladdy doing all they did. The story, I essentially emptied my notebook into this book. Lots of anecdotes and sort of that I didn't have room for in the book. Extended interviews with the players and coaches and so on from that era, and threw it all in this book. And the whole point of this thing, because books don't make a ton of money, but I'm donating a healthy share of the proceeds to the Vladimir Konstantinov Special Needs Trust.
Right.
Help take care of him. So
the kind of the dirty secret about that is that his wife left him after.
Well,
they're
still married, and
and she's in Florida, he's up here.
Yeah. Listen, the story now about Vladdy is that the insurance laws have changed, and he's not getting there's a really risk that he's not going to get the kind of care that he needs to survive.
Yes.
The insurance companies now are paying like 55 cents on the dollar, and a lot of people who do this home health care with people with catastrophic injuries are getting out of the business now because their pay is going from like $30 an hour to $15 an hour minimum wage. They're leaving the business. Businesses are closing, and the people close to Vladimir Konstantinov are worried that he's going to wind up in an institution, a nursing home type situation. Well, what do they do with people like that? They dope them up or strap them down, and that's it. And they're not sure that he can survive that situation. So we got to help all
and
we can.
One of the unintended consequences of the new insurance change and all that kind of stuff.
One of the biggest what ifs in the history of Detroit sports is what if Vladimir Konstantinov had played the full career? Well, how old was he, Keith?
30.
When 30 when that happened. So he had another 8 years at least of fantastic hockey.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. That the team played so hard for him and the rest of the next year. And would they have won the Stanley Cup the next year with a full complement of players? Maybe, maybe not. But they exhausted themselves for Vladdy. And then, and we won a few more cups, but really it was on free agency and things like that.
That's right.
So, the limo accident – the unintended consequences of that limo accident are just staggering.
And one of the things I remember most about Vladdy when he was playing, not the biggest guy necessarily,
but
the way he protected the blue line with the physicality, it was like that was his ownership, his property, and he just leveled people. I mean, he was so physical when it came to playoff hockey. It was so much fun to watch.
And he loved to hit people.
It was great.
You watch his eyes light up when he had a chance to hit somebody. You know, it's just you talk about him, a kid named Yuri Fisher, another big defenseman who his career was cut short with a heart injury.
Yeah.
Imagine Vladdy and Yuri Fisher on the blue line together for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They would have won more Stanley Cups.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
But going back to tying this back into baseball, so this book will be available. You'll be able to win the book. I don't know if you're going to bring a couple other copies and maybe to sell. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. Can't give them all away.
We could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll auction a couple off and the dollars go back to Vladdy. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very excited to be able to do this show in public. We've never done that before. So you can find out just how stupid we look doing this thing. You know, we'll maybe have some fans on asking some questions that we'll address on the air.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. So that's going to be happening. If you like this radio program, please join us at 10 a.m. April 8th at Iron Pig Smokehouse, and then we're going to be broadcasting on Q100 before that. Then the game, of course, will be on. We want to try to turn it as much into a party as we have in Detroit, especially when it's on a Friday, guys. Keith knows this really well. 250,000 people around Comerica Park on a Friday when opening day is open. Doesn't matter what the hell the weather's like.
Yep.
And I still will never forget the atmosphere around the old Tiger Stadium in 1984. The Tigers come in. What were they? Were 12-0 coming in. They started the game on the West Coast. The season on the West Coast, and man, people had World Series fever that year. Right. Man.
Yeah,
nothing was better than that.
A great start on the road, and then they go 35-5 and never look back. It was quite a year.
I will never forget. It was the drunkest I ever saw my father. I'm walking out of Tiger Stadium. They won that game in a runaway, so people are leaving like the sixth or seventh inning, and I happen to be leaving the same time my dad is, and he staggers over and he puts his arm around. They're going to go 162-0. I'm like, I really don't think so, Dad.
But it kind of felt like it at the time.
Well, it sure did.
Yeah, and we have so many high expectations for this baseball team, and I hope they don't come crashing and burning. You know, one of the things, I don't know why this always happens, and I'm sure nobody in this room has an answer. I don't know who has the answer for it, but every single season, the first 2 weeks of the season, we play the Red Sox and the Yankees, and then you never see them again for the rest of the
year. Until July.
No, we don't. I mean,
all?
We have the Yankees, I got to take a look at it. Oh. But the way the schedule, they changed the schedule again, so I don't know how many games we actually have with the Red Sox and the Yankees. I'm going to have to look at the full schedule, but I'm looking at April. And our home games are against the Red Sox and the Yankees right off the bat.
That's not good. By the way, some details about the new collective bargaining are still coming out as they resolve them. Some updates. The extra innings will begin with a runner on second base again.
I like that.
Rosters expand from 26 to 28 players, as we said, through May 1st. And doubleheaders will go back to 9 innings rather than 7 innings. They're actually going to play Major League Baseball. In doubleheaders again.
What about, I heard that they're still, it hasn't been decided or hasn't been decided on the shift.
Oh, nothing yet.
Okay.
Nothing yet. Nothing
I have
yet.
A funny feeling that Major League Baseball is going to address that in the middle of the season like they did. The other rule that they changed in the middle of the game about, you couldn't put anything on your hands, and the pitchers went berserk.
Yes. Yeah.
I think you're going to see that. And guess who shifts more than any other manager in baseball?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He basically created the shift.
Wow.
I mean, with all their metrics and everything else, and we know how detail-oriented Hinch has been with it, and the rest of his staff. So they know exactly what hitter, what pitcher, where to move the guys and everything else.
Yeah.
So I think they should eliminate the shift.
I would love to see
it,
too.
I hate it. Yep. I hate it.
Also, did you see changes just a little bit? Did you see Correa signed with the Twinkies?
Yeah, that was an interesting signing.
Watch out for Minnesota, folks. Yeah. They've
made a couple of signings here.
Man. Yeah, but they also got rid of their best player, you know, in that trade for Urshela and who's the catcher, Sanchez, who really had a pretty rough year in New York. So we'll see if a change of scenery helps him or hurts him. I think, you know, obviously the White Sox are the cream of the division.
Yep.
Hopefully the Yankees or the Tigers and the Twins are right there. I don't see much hope for the Kansas City or Cleveland, but I've seen a couple of people have the Tigers at the bottom of the division. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I think Cleveland has the pitching, and that's it, right? I mean, pitching's good, obviously, but
plus they don't have their manager anymore.
I think he's trying to – I was listening to –
I thought Francona had retired.
He's trying to make a comeback this year. I was listening to 101.1 here, and they were talking about Terry Francona being back with what's their new name?
Not the Commanders.
Guardians,
yeah. That'll be a while for that.
Francona's a lifer. He's addicted. He's addicted to the lifestyle. You're going to have to carry him away kicking and dragging away from this game. There is no justice.
You're right. There is
That's
no justice.
Perfect, yes.
There should be.
Still.
There should be.
The Commanders. It should be the Cleveland Commanders and the Washington Guardians.
Yes.
It would make actually more sense. But, you know, it's a nonsensical baseball season, and thankfully we're going to have 162 games, each and every one of them right here on Up North Sports Radio 101.1. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we are contractually obligated to discuss the Red Wings.
A lot to talk about, by the way.
And the Pistons. So if you're so inclined, please stay with us here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel, who is protecting you against upsets this March with bracket parlay insurance on FanDuel. Nobody needs it more than Rich Calkins. All customers can get up to $25 back on each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls short one leg. I like player props in the money line. Now, guys, I'm thinking about maybe a player prop and money line on UCLA. Build your own parlay based on the teams playing today.
Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday. And with cash out, the ball's in your court. So you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. New to FanDuel? Just sign up with the promo code WGRY. Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code WGRY on FanDuel Sportsbook app.
21 and present in Michigan. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling additions, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
You know who needs confidential help is the defense of the Red Wings. Maybe not confidential help. We could advertise for help, Keith.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know they made the deals, and
they got rid of a couple of defensemen. Both of them puck moving defensemen. They really, as much as Nick Leddy struggled, they really needed that guy to help move the puck out of their zone. They don't have him now. It's and it shows already in a couple of games. But even more than that, the goaltending is really substandard. 9 seconds into the game last night, 9 seconds, Thomas Greiss allows a goal. They're down 1-0. You know what that does to a team? They just folded right then. They were down 3-0 all of a sudden. You know, they pulled the goalie with 5 minutes to go. They wound up losing 5-2. But you can't. You can't. That just deflates a team when you give up goals like that.
Especially when you've been giving up a lot of goals to begin with, and then you start the game that way, and so the whole team just looks at like, really?
And they're down 3-0. After two periods, they switch the goaltenders. They put Nedeljkovic in there. And, you know, the first couple of minutes of the third period, he gives up a goal on his first shot he faces. They're not getting the goaltending. That's the problem now. And they're going to finish in the bottom 10. Not the bottom 5, but the bottom 10, probably where they belong, the way they've been playing.
Well,
they tease us for a half season.
Right.
And, you know, They are what they are.
What goaltenders are going to be available in free agency, or I don't know if you started looking at the draft about goaltender. Didn't we draft a goaltender last year?
But it takes 5-6 years to develop a goaltender when you draft him. It takes some time. Nedeljkovic will be the number one guy going in the next year. They'll have another goaltender of some kind. And I like Thomas Greiss when they signed him, but he has just not played well. He'll be gone. That's a work in progress, that position. But they did make some deals. The two guys that they got from St. Louis, Oscar Sundqvist, you'll like this guy. Got some size, does a lot of things right, plays really well. And Yzerman really likes the young defenseman. They got Jake Wallman is his name. A work in progress, but he looks like a guy who can play for some years in the Wings lineup. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I do want to talk about tomorrow's game. They play a game tomorrow. Tampa Bay comes to visit.
Uh-huh.
The only reason it makes a big deal is the 25th anniversary tomorrow of the greatest game ever played at Joe Louis Arena. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Darren McCarty to the rescue.
Yeah, he sure was. And that's the...
The reason why McCarty was, became an alcoholic. Is just people buying him drinks no matter where. Come over here. The old staying back there, that guy will never have to buy a drink again in this town. And
literally came true.
My favorite chapter...
I love you, Darren.
My favorite chapter in this new book called Vlad the Impaler, available for pre-order now. It's going to be released on April 5th. But page 162. The title of the chapter is "Paybacks Are a Bitch." Can I read a couple of paragraphs, please?
The way you mop handled this last night.
Well, this is kind of the middle of the. I'm talking to Dvorsky now. Paul Dvorsky was the one referee back then. Then they had one referee and two linesmen, and I was able to get a hold of him and talk to him. I wanted to ask him the main question that everybody's had since then. What the hell was Darren McCarty doing still in the game to score the overtime goal when he should have been gone for all of his indiscretion? But the way he was pounding on Claude Lemieux, he was still in the game, right? This chapter explains it.
Okay.
And just a couple of paragraphs here. While overtax medics immediately jumped over the boards to tend to Lemieux, the linesman ushered the parade to the penalty box, but wondered what to do with McCarty. Both linesmen had turned to Dvorsky, almost saying simultaneously, "Dude, you're going to throw him out, right? McCarty's done, eh?" And Dvorsky looked at him and said, "Nope, he's staying in." And in fact, McCarty didn't even get the requisite 5-minute penalty for fighting. Instead, he was assessed a double minor for roughing. And Lemieux, he wasn't penalized at all.
Well, because he never swung.
I'm reading now. He wasn't penalized at all. Not even a 2-minute minor for refusing to fight back and getting his ass kicked. And Dvorsky says, "Believe me," Dvorsky said in a telephone interview more than 2 decades later, "if I could have assessed something like that, I would have." But his explanation for not coming down harder on McCarty that was both astonishingly and refreshingly candid and sincere. Quote, "My memory was, I just couldn't forget what happened to Chris Draper," Dvorsky said. "I'm getting ready for the game, and they're showing the highlights on TV. Draper's face after he got hit, and I'm thinking, holy blank."
Yeah.
Basically, he said a little while later, he said, "You know what?
Nobody was thrown out of the game. The goalies went back into their creases. Yeah. Vernon and our buddy, the greatest Canadian goaltender of all time, other than Ken Dryden. Who was the goaltender for the Avs?
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Waugh. Yeah. Waugh. Yeah.
And, as he says later, bottom line, though, everybody knows paybacks are a bitch, eh?
Yeah. Well,
and it shows you right there, referees are human.
Yep.
Refreshingly
so. Yes. I mean, I was shocked. Actually, I got Dvorsky. He called me back on a Sunday evening. I think he might have had a couple of pops. But he talked his ass off, and he gave us a great story.
That's cool. All right. Yes, very cool.
So just one of the many reasons. Maybe we'll talk about this next week. We'll maybe see how many books you can bring and maybe sell a couple on top of the couple we'll give away.
I'll bring as many as we need.
All right. The other team that inhabits Little Caesars Arena, the Detroit Pistons, continue to tease us with what is going to be happening next. Rich, you mentioned it a little bit, like does Bancaro show up on this team? The Pistons are going to get a pretty damn good player.
They are.
You know, man, when Cade Cunningham is healthy, this team is pretty good. Bagley's been a really good fit. Sadiq Bey, you know, did not really play too well, especially with Cunningham out of the lineup when he missed a total focus. But, man, as a second player.
And he still set the Piston all-time record for threes. And like you said, he went for a long time where he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah.
But, man, when he's cooking, man, that just you see that offensive flow and Cunningham driving to the hole, and it's just like it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, a wing. I don't know if Bancaro's the right fit. You know, ideally, you'd like a wing that shoots it like Kevin Durant. That's really what you know.
That would
a taller wing. I have to take a little bit bigger, in-depth look at what's going to come out of the top half of the draft of what the Pistons, because you don't really need a playmaker anymore. Not only is Cunningham good, but I really like Sabian Lee, as a second unit point guard,
and I like the defense of Killian Hayes. You know, he's so long armed. When he gets on those, man, he's not afraid of getting right up in their grill.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the Pistons in the second round take Colin Gillespie.
Sure.
You know, I think that guy is going to be a pretty decent NBA player. He's super smart, doesn't get rattled, can shoot the ball. So. Yeah. I like what I see from the Pistons, and what they got? I think they got 8 games left.
Something
like that.
It's the All-Star break this year was way late. Wasn't even close to being halfway through the season. It was more than three quarters
The Wings have 18 games left. Wow.
Yeah.
8 guys in double figures the other night against Atlanta.
They've got Atlanta's number. Atlanta really needed to win that game. They know how to guard Trae Young. You know, I don't know how much you've been paying attention to the NBA. Chris Paul came back last night.
I saw
night.
That, yep.
At the top half of both divisions, playoff basketball is going to be really exciting to watch from my standpoint. And it's not the same old NBA. You know, ever since we bought the radio stations, guys, I get questioned all the time, like, JC, how can you stand the NBA? I do. I think the skill level is insanely great. And I don't see the same kind of complaint or non-activity through the first three quarters, right? Obviously, everything gets ratcheted up in the fourth quarter no matter what.
Right.
But, you know, this league plays with a lot more integrity than it used to, you know, 5-10 years ago, where, you know, guys just, people would say, well, they just go through the motions until they get to the playoffs. And the playoffs will be definitely more intense. But look what LeBron James is doing at age 37. He's going to lead the league in scoring.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's really remarkable.
Yeah.
What he's doing at his age is insane, to use your word.
And to improve his shooting like he has. I mean, that's really – he's always been able to drive to the hole because he's such a physical beast. But, man, he's really shooting the ball well.
Yeah, and the Lakers are probably not even going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they'll make the play-in game, but that's just crazy. But you know, the Bucks are great, and the Boston Celtics look the hell out for the Boston Celtics.
Red hot.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see them win the East, which is now the better division. Other than, you know, the Suns have the best record in the NBA, and then all the great teams are in the East this year, most of them.
Yeah, and emotions are running high. Look at Miami getting into some, you know, some scuttlebutts there on the sideline with teammates, which is all good because they obviously care enough, you know, going towards the playoffs here. They want to have a really good seed going in. So it's and Jimmy Butler's always involved with those situations, guaranteed.
Well, the problem with Miami really is that, you know, if Tyler Hero's not scoring or Robinson's
they have limitations.
Jimmy Butler is a bizarre superstar because he doesn't automatically bring you 25 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a competitor, is, you know what I mean? He tries to get the best out of everyone else. And occasionally he's going to have dust-ups with teammates. And every place he's been to like four or five different places. There's always been issues. And from what I hear and read, it's usually because he's demanding of other people playing as hard as he does. So that's some of the things that I hear. But
by the way, Pistons tonight, they play the Washington Wizards, 7 p.m. at the
right here Pitts Arena. On 101.1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. That Pistons play their game. That should be a W.
Well, yeah, the Wizards are kind of languishing around.
Yep.
Keith, we will check in with you at 3:30 on Q100.
Look forward to it, JC.
Yeah, all thank right. You. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It is time for the Fick & Sons High School Sportscape Show. Fick & Sons proudly supports all Northern Michigan student-athletes for all your propane needs. Contact Fick & Sons, local, competitive, reliable, fickandsons.com. They were there to fill up our tank as we lost power again on Skyline Drive, so thank you. On the phone with us is James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle. James, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just got some sleep after getting back from Lansing last night for the second time in 2 weeks, so just trying to keep up.
You were there for the Lake Leelanau St. Mary's game?
Yeah, a little bit of a different role because one of our photographers couldn't make it to the game, so I had to go down there and take photos.
Okay.
Which is always interesting because they have a little different rules down there for taking photos than you at a high school game where you're pretty well free to do what you want.
Yeah.
Did they win? I didn't see the score. No, they lost.
But it was quite a game, though, James. Fill us in on the details. Again, Lake Leelanau St. Mary's did not win, but what a comeback in that second half.
Yeah, they were down, I think, 17 or maybe 18 at one point in that game. And, I mean, you know, the first half at halftime, it just didn't look good at all. And then in that second half, they just started coming back. They've done this a couple of times in the playoffs already. You know, they came back against Traverse City Christian. They came back against McBain NMC. And it really looked like they were going to pull it off again. They had the game tied up at one point late in the fourth quarter. And then, Ewan Trout Creek got a couple of good possessions and got some buckets and then was able to close it out at the free throw line. But, man, that was one heck of a rally by Lake Leelanau St. Mary.
So we don't have any teams left in it.
We do not. Nor we are unless we adopt a couple of UP teams that you and Trout Creek and Menominee, we could take those guys.
Well, we can adopt Menominee.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Who do they have in the finals, Rich?
Okay, they're going to take on Schoolcraft.
Okay.
Schoolcraft, of course, just south of Kalamazoo. They're a very good team. They're 24-2. Really good team, obviously. And they beat, let me see, yesterday they took on Flint Beecher and beat them 55-39.
Wow.
And Beecher, of course, like 8 or 9 time state champs, and they're there every single year.
Yeah.
So that's a great win for Schoolcraft. So Menominee and Schoolcraft at 4:00. Tomorrow,
which will be on our Up North Sports radio stations here on 101.1
4:30. Sorry,
yeah, both here and in the Traverse City market. So, if you want to hear the end gate, we will have, I believe, we're playing all the state championship games here in the next 2 days. So, that's pretty exciting stuff. Unfortunately, we already addressed it how Menominee really took our Grayling Vikings to task. And the same thing happened with Cadillac. James, did you see that game?
I did not. Brennan was up at the game with the Grayling game.
Okay.
There. And he said that they were just a pretty impressive team.
Yeah.
And, jumped out early and really never let up.
Well, we heard from the Benzie Central coach about how Menominee likes to play. And when Rich and I were interviewing him, we kind of thought that might be difficult for Grayling because they hadn't seen too many presses and a lot of pressure, and they didn't really have the kids that would be able to handle that, and it turned out, unfortunately, to be true.
Yeah. And like you said, if we wanted to get on the bandwagon with the UP teams, there's them, there's Ewan Trout Creek, which is the team that beat Lake Leelanau St. Mary, and they'll still be playing in the Division 4 final against Wyoming Tri-Unity who beat Genesee Christian in the other semifinal. It was kind of fun at the Breslin Center because the Genesee Christian, they lost at Wyoming Tri-Unity there. But the Genesee Christian student section got to the game really early, and their colors are blue and white as well, just like Leelanau St. Mary, and they were directly across the court from each other. And so they started doing the MSU go green, go white type of thing, but go blue and go white. And the two student sections were doing it back and forth with each other and kind of supporting each other during their games.
Yeah. That's always fun when the arena gets rocking and rolling like that. And like you said, Division IV, you and Trail Creek, they actually played Menominee during the regular season and beat them.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that tells you a little bit about that Division IV team of you and Trail Creek.
Yeah, Rich, go ahead and give the breakdown.
Yeah,
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry, James.
Oh, yeah. And you and Trail Creek's a big team, too. I mean, for a Division IV team, I mean, they've got – I think two or three 6'5 kids, another couple 6'4 kids, and then a 6'3. They definitely had a height advantage on Lake Leelanau. But Lake Leelanau kept things pretty even in that game, all told. I mean, Unitraw Creek only had three more rebounds.
Okay.
Rich, go over the lineup. I know De La Salle's in the finals.
They are, yep. Well, both Division 3 and 4 were played yesterday, all the semifinals. Today is Division 1 and Division 2. So starting off the day, Warren De La Salle at 18-7 takes on Grand Rapids Northview,
right,
who is 25-1. That's a noon start.
Okay.
So that one's going to be starting here in about 55 minutes. On the other side of that bracket is Grand Blanc at 20-5 taking on Bellevue at 19-6. That's a 2 o'clock start.
Bellevue has got a really rich basketball history as well.
Right. And speaking now, Division II, speaking of basketball history, Grand Rapids Catholic Central, 24-1, taking on Ferndale at 21-3. That's a 5:30 tip off.
That should be a mighty good game.
And certainly, last but not least, listen to this. The Battle of the Undefeateds, Williamston, 25-0, taking on Freeland, 25-0, to cap off your evening at the Breslin Center at 7:30.
Who did Freeland beat? Freeland eliminated one of our teams up here. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Was it Cadillac?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think it was like a 10 or 12-point game. We will have Coach Ryan Benzenberg on tomorrow, as well as LJ Mead, to talk about some really substantial runs. I just very briefly, guys, I want to give a shout-out to Fick & Sons, who saved our bacon again. They are local, competitive, and reliable propane provider, but there's so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel. Visit Charlie's Country Corner on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for the Arby's, the huge convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, and a full-service diesel garage if you have a big diesel truck. Visit Fick & Sons in Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store, or at M72 at Bear Lakes, or at the Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane cylinder refills, exchanges, and off-road diesel. A deli coming soon. Find out what Fick & Sons has near you at fickandsons.com. So, yeah, we are rounding down. This is going to be our last Sportscape show, so James will have a lot more free time on his hand without us bugging him. James, so any other observations about the year in sports as a whole? We had you on during football and basketball season.
It was a really good year for sports up in northern Michigan. I mean, you had a lot of teams making deep runs again, and in both football and basketball, volleyball, and just representing northern Michigan pretty well. I think that slowly but surely downstate people are realizing that sports up here is not what they thought it was. It's not
right.
I think that the downstate people have an opinion of that upstate sports can't be as good. And I think that slowly but surely, I think it's that opinions are kind of eroding away as they see more and more teams from up here go down there and play their teams. And like Traverse City Central and Traverse City West joining the second of that league for football next year and stuff like that. So,
yes.
Overall, I think it's been a very successful season.
Yeah, oh, totally agree, James. Excellent point there. Just in basketball alone, Grayling first time getting to the quarterfinals in 65 years, I mean, that's incredible. And then to Lake Leelanau St. Mary's, for them to get down to the semis. Now, I believe they've never won a state championship, right?
Yeah, the only championship that they've won in school history was a 2012 golf title.
Okay.
And for golf, you only have to really have four kids.
Yeah, right.
If they're all, you only have to have four kids. So, other than that, you know, Lake Leona is part of the Suttons Bay Co-op in football, so they've been to the state championship game in eight-man for the last 3 years.
Okay.
But outside of that, it had been since 1950 since they had won a regional.
Okay.
And they never won a quarterfinal.
James, we're coming in now into the softball and boys baseball team. Any teams that you're going to be keeping your eye on?
Well, both Traverse City Central and Traverse City West both should be really good. I think the Big North Conference will be pretty competitive this year. Looks like Petoskey will be, I think, a team that can stick its nose in there too in the Big North Conference this season in baseball. And Alpena is usually pretty good as well. The baseball and softball is usually the sports where Alpena kind of stands out. But the Central and West both have pitchers coming back who have both committed to Louisville already.
Yeah, Division One
right,
pitchers.
Yeah,
yes,
I remember that. Yeah, and we know that the Gaylord girls softball team should be very, very good. They made a big run with primarily all freshmen on the team.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, they're very young, and they had a couple of other new girls on the team that were eighth graders last year that would have played on varsity last year had they been eligible to. So I think Gaylord softball is just going to reload, you know, and then you've got the other perennial kind of teams in the area, you know, like Elk Rapids soccer and St. Francis tennis, sports like that, that it'll always, I think, kind of be right there and be the good teams.
It'll be interesting to see if Gaylord St. Mary's boys continue to be at it. They've made a lot of runs to the state semifinals a few years in a row, and they seem to just keep reloading and having a great baseball squad.
Yeah, very tradition rich there, yeah. St. Mary's in baseball.
Yeah, but I know we'll let the dust settle here for a few weeks, and then get you back on Friday faceoff as we get closer to being able to figure out what teams might have a legitimate shot at state championship glory in the spring sports, James.
Sounds good. Yeah, this weekend on the podcast, we're going to have, or on Monday actually, we're going to have some kids from Lake Leona talking about their tournament run. And then the week after that, we're going to have Jim Nagy on the podcast, the director of the Senior Bowl and former NFL scout. So he's going to talk a lot about the NFL draft and some players that might fit the Lions delve into the NFL quite a bit.
Oh, excellent.
That's good to know. Always a fantastic podcast that you do there each and every week. Did you listen to the Grayling one?
I did not. I've not had an opportunity, but I'm going to this weekend. Yes.
All right, James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle Sports Department. Thanks so much for all your coverage this year on the Fick and Son Sportscape Show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right, thanks, James.
So, yeah, as you said, content is king, and we're kind of running out of content for high school sports, so this will be our last Sportscape show until next fall, and we want to thank Fick and Sons for bringing it all to us. So visit fickandsons.com for all that they can do to keep your life moving along. And the same thing, Rich, we will do our last Bill Marsh high school scoreboard show, as the scoreboard has shrunk to just a few scores.
Not going to be like the Michigan scoreboards now that they put $41 million into. So, right, we'll be down to a little bit. But it's been a great year doing not only the Sportscape, Fick and Son Sportscape show, but the Bill Marsh scoreboard show, too, has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have some of the coaches that have had just fantastic seasons and kept us entertained. And kudos to the kids that stuck their neck out on the line and competed and brought a lot of praise and glory to their individual program. So it's been a fun season. And you can catch Rich and I right here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning for our final Bill Marsh High School scoreboard show right here on Up North Sports Radio 101.1.
Yep. And all kinds of good sports going on yet today, JC. Like you said, we got more high school basketball right here on 101.1.
I don't know if we're playing the semifinal games.
Is that okay? You're doing the finals.
You got finals on Saturday and Sunday. So,
you have the Tiger baseball game.
I think we're I gotta have to get with JJ. But
right.
Whatever it is, we'll have live sports here on Up North Sports Radio.